In this first special episode of the year, we invited Edith Eger, psychologist specialized in trauma and Holocaust survivor, to talk about how life's adversities are experienced over the years. What is the real meaning of forgiveness? How not to let what happened to you define who you are today? How to do the best in a world that is still inflicting pain on others? Stay with us because this was a beautiful episode full of wisdom that will leave you with so much to think about. If you like the episode, don't forget to rate it and share.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
From the beginning.
Se regalan dudas, nace de la infinita necesidad de cuestionarnos todo lo que está a nuestro alrededor. ¿Por qué creemos lo que creemos?
¿Qué alternativas hay?
¿De dónde venimos y hacia dónde vamos?
¿Cómo tomar decisiones más informadas?
Coexistir para vivir más intensamente sin dejar de crecer.
Hemos tenido tantas dudas durante tanto tiempo que te las queremos regalar.
Soy Leti Sagún.
Y yo, Ashley Frangé.
Y en este espacio invitamos a
expertos, amigos, profesores, gente que queremos y que admiramos, que sabe y nos sabe tanto
de todo eso que tendríamos que estar hablando.
En colaboración con Acast. Welcome, Edith. We're so honored to have you here. We read both of your books. We are so inspired by your life story and by all the knowledge you've shared with everyone. So welcome to Se Regalan Dudas. It's a pleasure to have you here for all our Latin-speaking audience.
Yes, very, very mutual. Love Mexico. I wouldn't mind retiring there, especially. I love the people, good people, kind people, and I am very happy to be with you today and make this time very useful.
Yes, this is your house whenever you want to come here.
Yes, thank you. I've been working for the YPO for many years, Rocio Berho. And is a beautiful woman of strength that I stay in their home and I get up in the morning and two beautiful women give me papayas and fresh orange. By the time I finish my breakfast, my room is clean. Thank you.
I love it. Thank you. Edith, I was so inspired in many ways. We read your story. We shared it between my mother, my sister, and I. And I want to see if you can sort of walk us through the whole process of how you make it so that something that could have shaped your life in one complete way and you could have gone one route, which is a route that we know a lot of people went through, you somehow, with your inner wisdom,
we're able to just completely shape it onto another side. And I think that's something that everyone can relate, because no matter, you said many times, suffering is different, but we all suffer as humans. And I would like to know how anyone, with whatever situation they're going through, and knowing that there's these two paths, right, can sort of do what you did and be somehow inspired to choose a path of love and the path of forgiveness and the path of resilience.
I'd like to tell you that I was on the advisory committee for the Veterans Administration, and as such, I would go to Washington, and every morning we were picked up in Nepal, and we passed the Holocaust Museum, and I kept saying to myself, I'm not going there, I've been there, I've done that. But after 6 years, I arrived on a Sunday, and I ended up choosing to go to the Holocaust Museum. They told me to go up to the fourth floor because I was looking for the GIs who liberated me on May 4th, 1945. And as I was going through the pictures, there was one on the right side with a scripture, May 1944, Hungary, new arrivals in Auschwitz. And I thought I saw myself. I still don't know, because my sister, I didn't see. And I didn't go back to double check. But I know that the following day, I was at the advisory committee. I was the only woman, and I had a big sign, Dr. Edith Eva Eager. And I was wondering whether that girl, how that dead girl became this woman. And that's what you're asking, that it's not what's happening. We have a choice to react or respond. And that's why if you want to talk to anyone about anything, you want to first think whether it is necessary and whether it's kind. And if it's not, that's why God gave us one lip and two ears, so we can talk less and listen more.
And listen more.
I love that. I wanted to ask you, I think one of the things that I admire you the most is telling your story. I believe that so much of us, especially in these times, believe that we are alone in our suffering and believe that we are not worthy of telling our story. Not everyone has had the beautiful opportunity like me and Letty to have this podcast and to talk through millions of people, and like you, that you've had hundreds and millions of people that have been impacted by your story. But I'm talking more of like the day-to-day people, right? And like how I wanted to talk to you about that. Why is it so important to share our stories, and why every story is worth telling?
I usually tell people I have a story, but I'm not my story. See, when I went to my sister and told her I want to go back to Auschwitz because I want to go back to the lion's den. I want to look at the lion in her face. I want to reclaim my innocence. And my sister told me I'm an idiot. So I did go alone to Auschwitz. And the work I do today, to revisit the places where you've been, relive that experience, and then revise your life. So I never forget what happened. I don't overcome it. I don't even know that word. But I came to terms with it, that there is a part in my life that Auschwitz gave me the opportunity to look at life from inside out. I don't wait for someone to make me happy. And I think that's very important, that you can really wait for someone and be the waiting woman. But if you're not happy alone, you won't be happy with anyone else. So I think love is not what you feel, is what you do. And that's what you're doing. That's what you're calling me. What do you do with tragedy and how do you turn it into an opportunity? Become a survivor, but never a victim. We are going to send you this that I wrote, The Difference Between. See, when I'm still angry and I'm still hating, then I hurt me. So that's why it's important to love me. And because self-love is self-care. It's not narcissistic. Narcissistic people don't like themselves. So I think this is a very important conversation for you to know in January. You can make a decision what you're holding on to and what are you willing to let go. Like, I am letting go of the need for someone else's approval of me. You know, not everyone is going to like me because I'm doing it my way, and so I respect others to hopefully reclaim their true self, which we give up usually when we are young. We give up our genuine self and we become a good girl or daddy's little angel or mommy's little confidant. I think it's important for us to know that God only made one of you. If you leave this room, no one can replace you. You're one of a kind. There'll never be another you or me. It doesn't mean I'm better or less than anybody else. We're all humans.
Which is also something that you say a lot and that really like stood with me, the idea of how to reconnect with your power and with your freedom, and how power is not what we were taught, but actually something that lives within. And that, as you said, you can only reclaim with yourself. And all of these things that we consider, because there are atrocious, right? There's so many human despair that we cannot put words into, and I understand that. But then that's exactly where the opportunity comes of you, like you said, to not be your story, but do something with that story and reconnect in that way to your power. Because I feel like a lot of people, we've felt in life that power has been like taken from us to somebody else or to something else. And maybe we've been stuck there for a long time in this victimhood of thinking that we were ripped of something, until you actually realize, you know what, it's something that comes from within that nobody can take away. And there's a particular story that I don't know if you feel comfortable telling, that you tell in your book, that I love, of when you're dancing in front of the general and you're saying, you know, I'm in this place. And you can think that I am being the captive person here, but I am free within myself. And that is something that no one can ever take away from me.
No one can really take away my spirit, that we have that spirit that no one can take away ever. And when I danced for Dr. Mengele, I closed my eyes and I pretended that the music was Tchaikovsky. And I was dancing the Romeo and Juliet at the Budapest Opera House. That's the first thing I did when I went to Hungary many years ago. I ran and saw the Budapest Opera House. And this is what happens. So when someone tells me that they were inappropriately touched, but they don't want to tell me because I was in Auschwitz, and my answer is to her, I knew the enemy. It's just how you look at things. If you were raped, it's a very different way of look at everything, because unfortunately, we look at victims as being weak and victimizers as being strong. And that's why part of the psyche will identify with the aggressor. And if you want to study the Stockholm syndrome, look it up in any psychology book, that you identify with the aggressor. And many times I even worked with survivors And when they got angry and their children, they called them Nazis. And that's really not a good way for a mother to talk. So that's why I think the work I do is about grieving, feeling, and healing. You cannot heal what you don't feel. Crying is good because what comes out of your body doesn't make you ill. What stays in there does. Yeah, I didn't tell anyone I was in Auschwitz close to 20 years until I read Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl.
Viktor Frankl.
Yeah, I read it in high school. There's this part, there's the talk of you that I heard that you talk a lot about the future and how were when you were in the middle of all these things happening, you said, tomorrow I will be free. Tomorrow I will be free. And I think sometimes when you're in the middle of the storm, it's so difficult to imagine a tomorrow, especially when the days start going by and there's no, you feel like there's no tomorrow. So I wanted to talk to you about that, about like how has thinking of the future saved you in that particular time?
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Este mes, Leti y yo nos tomamos unas merecidas vacaciones. En lo personal, necesitaba un tiempo de desconexión para estar solo conmigo y con las personas que quiero. Uno de los planes que hicimos fue ir a uno de mis lugares favoritos, el mar. Por eso decidí comprarme un traje de baño lindo, protector solar y algunas otras cosas que quería llevarme a la playa. Después de comprar lo que necesitaba, usé una app que se convirtió en mi más grande aliada porque me regresó dinero en efectivo y me recompensó por muchos de los gastos que hice. La app se llama Hibora y es muy sencilla, rápida y segura de usar. Hibora me ha regresado dinero por comprar en tiendas como Lowell's, Macy's, Sephora, Best Buy y mucho más. Tú también puedes empezar a usarla y recibir dinero por comprar desde comestibles hasta artículos del hogar y de belleza. Lo único que tienes que hacer es agregar tus ofertas en la aplicación, subir tu recibo y listo. Obtendrás dinero real que podrás depositar a tu cuenta bancaria, PayPal o tarjetas de regalo. Si tú también quieres aprovechar estos beneficios, en este momento, para ti que eres parte de nuestra comunidad, Hibora ofrece $5 por solo probar Hibora usando el código DUDAS cuando te registras. Simplemente ve a la Apple Store o a Google Play Store y descarga la aplicación Hibora, completamente gratis para comenzar a ganar dinero en efectivo y usa el código DUDAS. Eso es Hibota en App Store o en Google Play con el código DUDAS.
I love your interviewing me. I think you're brilliant.
Thank you. Thank you.
Because I don't say why me, I say what now. That I live in a present, I can only touch you now. Mm. And I love my interview with you because you are the young people and I call you the ambassadors for peace and goodwill.
Thank you.
So you are the ambassador.
Such a responsibility.
I know.
Yes, there is no freedom without responsibility. And that's why I like to write a constitution for a family. That is very important. That if you want freedom, we're going to talk about responsibility. That goes with that. So if you want to ask your father for $100, but then tell him not to tell you what
to do. There's always more expensive things, right? Responsibility is more expensive than asking.
Yes. So you learn to negotiate and compromise. That's what life is. You negotiate and compromise. You know, Kissinger was interviewed by Golda Meir in Israel. And Golda Meir asked Kissinger, are you an American and then Jewish, or are you a Jew and then American? And Kissinger said, I am an American first and a Jew second. And Golda Meir said, in Israel, we read backwards.
So it's the same thing.
So it's not what happens, it's how you
see it.
There is something between stimulus and response, and there is a little room there to make a decision. When I worked with a young man who told me he's going to kill all the Jews, I never told him that I saw my mother going to the gas chamber. I turned to God, and God told me to find the bigot in me. Find the Hitler in you who judges other people, who's looking for scapegoats, who blame. While you blame, you're still a child. Only children blame. Adults are up negotiating and compromising. So you want to be a baby? When you're a baby, you sit in the back of the car and you mess around while somebody is driving the car. Now, the question is, do I want to be driven or do I want to be a driver? If you want to be a driver, you better take the responsibility with freedom. And that's why tomorrow became a wonderful friend to me, because I said to myself, if I survive today, then tomorrow I'm going to see my boyfriend. tomorrow is your friend, and I never gave up. And that's why I'm so proud, knowing that never in the history of mankind such a scientific and systematic.
Yeah. Edith, I have a question for you regarding all the experience you have also as a therapist, because I know you lived your story, but also you've accompanied a lot of people with their stories. And it seems like our generation particularly is a generation suffering within. So not that all human suffering has been put aside, but if we are more politically speaking in a time of peace, it seems like the suffering is now within our minds. It's depression, it's anxiety. We're a generation that is really battling with that. And I would love to know what's your intake on that. And with all your experience, what do you think can be helpful for these young generations that are really struggling with mental health and that feel imprisoned in their own minds?
Yes, I think you're very brilliant, knowing that it's not what happens, is what you do with it. That everything becomes an opportunity to choose whether I'm able to find hope in hopelessness, that I never, ever give up, that I take back my power to choose the way I think about it, the way I feel about it, and the way I behave. So it's thinking, feeling, and behaving. Change is synonymous with growth. If you don't change, you don't grow. It's very important to make a decision and then put it into action. Otherwise, you're revolving rather than evolving. Just like a butterfly. You let go of something that is really not empowering you to be a survivor. Because when you're a victim, you're always going to find a victimizer. And I think that's very, very important for you to talk to yourself. We're starting a new beginning, not going back. And tell someone how you feel, what you want, and how you negotiate and compromise. So if you didn't talk to your sister for a while, maybe it's time to tell her you would like to have lunch together and you would like to maybe cook some good enchiladas and talk about new beginnings, because you want to be sure when you die that you're not going to ask what the world has given you, but in what way you were able to contribute to peace and love and passion for life.
Another question that I wanted to ask you, I know a lot of your work has been centered on grieving, on actually, I think it's before forgiving, right? When you're grieving what happened to you and actually having this space. I was reading about you and how you said that, what you said, that you can't, you have to cry, you have to see what happened eye to eye. What can you tell us about grieving and the importance of holding that space for yourself and for others in front of you to actually grieve when we want to so fastly move on? You know what I mean? When something bad happens, what you want to do is to move on.
Let me tell you, I like to talk about the things that I lived myself. My granddaughter, Lindsay, who went to the Bishop School in La Jolla, asked me to buy her a dress so she can go to her dance. And so I did that, and I came home, and out of the blue, I noticed that I'm crying. The word understand is really very academic. I never understood. After I did what I was asked to do, I come home, and I'm realizing that I'm not crying. What really happened, that I bought her a dress, I came home, I cried because I never went to a dance. So that's why it's important that everything starts and ends with where you are, to be able to forgive yourself. Forgiveness has nothing to do with me forgiving you, because we don't have godly powers. Just remember that when you forgive yourself, you give yourself a gift that you don't want to live with hate. And that's why I went back to Auschwitz. And that's why I went to the Holocaust Museum. But then from the fourth floor, I went down to the third floor, and there was a cattle car, the one I sat in May 1944. And I saw people coming in and out, in and out. And it took me a couple of hours to decide that I'm going to step in and figure how it felt when my mother held me. And she told me, we don't know where we're going. We don't know what's going to happen. Just remember, no one can take away from you what you put here in your own mind. And that's what I tell in the schools. You know, to Gente Nueva, I've been going to Mexico every year, to the Gente Nueva. Beautiful people, and letting them know that to be able to find order in your life, stay in school as long as you can, and see how you can recognize that everything happens just the way my mother told me, that everything was taken away from me. And yet I had my sister and my mind, and learned to go beyond the be me me and commit myself to others, because all we had was each other then, and all we have is each other now. So grieving, feeling, and healing is what I do. That's the work that I do. That crying is very healthy, what comes out of your body will never make you ill. What stays in there does. So I am sure that you can hopefully be with women especially to recognize that they experience trauma and not to deny it, not to have any kind of delusions and minimize it. Oh, it wasn't such a big thing. Other people suffered more than I did. I don't think that's very healthy. I think it's very important to go back to that lion's den, look at the lion in the face. And that's what I did. I went back to Auschwitz. I reclaimed my innocence and was able to turn anxiety into excitement that I'm here. What now? I am very happy to tell you that I get older and wiser. And I feel very young and I live in the present.
That one of the questions that we had in our book club, because we are reading your book with all our audience, is after all of this grief, how do you forgive? How do people forgive things that seem unforgivable or that sound or felt unforgivable?
You know, I had a woman who had a big, big cross and came to see me. And we talked and talked and talked. And she said to me, I'm so blessed that I found a good Christian counselor like you. So I didn't say anything. I just went on. And then she started out, I don't know if I can forgive my husband for what he did to me. And I asked her to repeat after me. Repeat after me. She said, what? Very angry at me. I said, I forgive myself for putting judgment on my husband. And she wanted to kill me. It's not fair. So I take the big guns and I asked, what did Jesus do to the woman who committed adultery? You see, when you start with me and the way you look at things, that makes you either a victim or a victimizer. I think we are not more and not less than human beings. And as human beings, we are not perfect. Give up your perfectionism that can lead to procrastination. So, to be born again. So pretend you're pregnant and you give birth to the you that was meant to be free, free from the prison of your mind. And the key is in your pocket. There is something between birth and death called life. And I hope you have a good life, that you are able to live a life of meaning and you have purpose. And I know that when I was liberated, I was hoping that my parents are going to come back. And when my parents never showed up, I became very suicidal myself. And I wanted to die. And I know that God had a plan for me and said, I want you to be for something rather than against something. And this is really when I decided to live a life of joy and passion and to be useful to others. I don't ask you, how can I help you? I'm not Humpty Dumpty. I don't put people together. But I create an atmosphere where you can feel with me any feelings without the fear of being judged. Get rid of all your fear, because fear and love does not coexist. From the least anxiety producing to the most anxiety producing, and just believe that you were not born with fear. And what you learn, you can unlearn. And that is good news.
For my last question, I want to ask one of the book club questions, because they were very excited that we were talking to you. And it said, from the Edith in 1940 to the Edith in 2022, what are you most proud of?
Oh, that I'm able to transcend my ego needs and commit myself to others with my loving God that was with me and that is with me, that I do everything what is humanly possible and then hand it over to the loving God.
I love that.
That is so beautiful, Edith. For my last question, I just want to ask, I understand the lesson from the Holocaust as humanity as a whole, but with everything that we even studied in history, there seems to be some extreme right rising again in the world. What can we do besides go over history once and again and try to share all these love messages?
Well, you know, you cannot save the world unless we save ourselves as well, because we are the world, we're part of the world. And so ask yourself, what am I doing now? And is it working? So have a goal. And if you have a goal, I like to call it an arrow that you follow. And then you want to concentrate what you're focusing on. And that focusing will get you closer to your goal. So you have a goal, and then you concentrate on what you're focusing that is in alignment to get you closer. The word happy is very general. I don't know what to do with that word. I'm happy. I'm not happy when I go in San Diego to the airport and I see children separated from their parents. I don't think that I'm finding any happiness there at the border. How can we do that? How can we possibly allow children to be separated from their parents? See, half of you is your mother, half of you is your father. You have a whole family within us. Find that little girl in you that maybe is crying and begging you to find a good, loving mommy. And you say, I'm here. I'm showing up. I will never, ever leave you. I think children need to know that the world is a safe place. And I was chosen by the loving God not to concentrate on me, but to be able to listen as compassionately as I can, guide. I like to be called a guide, to be the guide for people to be born free. And freedom comes with responsibility. Freedom without responsibility, as I said, it's anarchy. So I like to write constitution. Write a constitution for the family so when you die, you feel satisfied that you came into this world not just to be, but to do God's work, to be able to recognize that there'll never, ever be another you. No one ever can replace you. And I think that's a wonderful blessing for me, to be the one who want to remind the world that never in the history of mankind such a scientific and systematic something existed when 15 highly educated people decided that they can put 30,000 Jews in the oven without ever even gassing them or do anything. So I think it's very important for me to know when I die that I will know that my parents didn't die in vain. So I think it's important for every one of you, look at anxiety, and it's possible to find hope in hopelessness and never ever give up.
Thank you so much, Dr. Edith. It was a pleasure talking to you, and thank you for your work.
An honor.
Thank you for what you do. And we will make sure this gets to as many souls as possible.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. I'd like to just leave you with two questions. When did your childhood end? The second question, would you like to be married to you? Just think about that.
Simple questions. Just think about them.
Simple questions. Thank you so much. We appreciate. Thank you, Planeta, for allowing us to talk to Dr. Edith. We are very honored. And thank you for your team and our team for coordinating this.
And if you haven't read The Gift and the Choice, both are great books. And all of what we talked today is there. So thank you.
Mucho amor.
Mucho amor. Mucho amor.
Igualmente. Bye.
Bye. Igualmente. Join Connor Connor where the big boys play.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.